First Kings chapter 22, we're going to get there. It's going to be a little bit longer introduction, so stay with me. I need to bring us up to what's going on in chapter 22, but we'll start in actually chapter 16 in First Kings. We're going to look at Ahab and look at Ahab, a lesson in God's providence. So we're introduced to this king in 1 Kings chapter 16. And look with me at verse 29. This is our first record of King Ahab. In the 30th and 8th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And this Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord. So he's a wicked king right off the bat. Did evil above all that were before him. He walked in the sins of Jeroboam. Served Baal, chapter 30, verse 31. And worship Baal. He reared up altars for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab, verse 32, made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the king of Israel that were before him. So this guy's, he's the first. And not in a good way. He did more to anger the Lord than all the kings before him. That's in chapter 16. Chapter 17, basically, there was a famine sent by God because of Ahab's evil reign and conduct. 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm just going to go through these till we get to up to our verse and text. There were godly prophets that hid themselves. They had to hide, about 100 of them, they had to hide themselves from this king, from slaughter. Him and his wife were introduced to Jezebel. You remember that name? That's never anything good with that name. That's chapters 18, verses 1 through 4. Verse 17 of 1 Kings chapter 18, we see Ahab's disdain for Elijah. Verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubles Israel? And Elijah said, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house. You've forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you followed Balaam. The truth and God's men, that's that article back there on the table, 7,000, that article that I think Henry wrote, excellent. God's people, God's preachers, don't back down. It doesn't matter if you're some of the old preachers of old got to preach to kings. They just told the kings exactly what the scripture says. And this is what Elisha's doing. And before long, in several chapters, he's going to be running for his life from Jezebel. Matter of fact, in chapter 19, Jezebel seeks Elijah's life. She seeks revenge. She seeks to murder him. But her sins will find her out, as in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see Jezebel's horrible death. In 1 Kings chapter 20, there's a third party. There's Ahab, Elisha, and then there's another party. There's a king of Syria. We see him, his name is Ben-Hadad. He's full of lies, deception, and he's the sworn enemy of Israel. Then a prophet of God orders Israel to war against Ben-Hadad. Ahab's disobedience to God is seen as he commanded him to kill. When he caught Ben-Hadad, he was commanded to kill him. He didn't. He knew it was him and he let him go. And then in verse In chapter 20 and verse 42, we see Ahab's death is prophesied. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because you have let go out of thine hand the man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And then 1 Kings chapter 21 and in verse 19, it says, and thou shalt speak unto him, this is the prophet speaking unto the king Ahab, thus saith the Lord, thou hast killed and hast also taken possession, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. That's another prediction, prophecy of Ahab's death. And then further in chapter 21, there's more rebellion, there's more sin, piled upon sin by Ahab and Jezebel. Now we get to chapter 22. And chapter 22 is where we will stay. But in the first three verses, Ahab, the wicked king, gets a godly king, Jehoshaphat, to go to war with him. Verses 5 and 6, this godly king, Jehoshaphat, asks Ahab, before we go to war, inquire of the Lord for us to see if we will be victorious. And he says, oh yeah, I've got these 400 prophets and they've all said go to war. Well, these are 400 false prophets. The godly king is leery about these 400 prophets, and so Jehoshaphat asks him again in verse 7 for another prophet, a godly prophet, to again inquire of the Lord. Verses 15 through 27, Ahab pulls Micah out of prison for telling him the truth. Then he inquires of this godly prophet, and he says, I've told you, you're not going to come back. You're going to die. And so Ahab, being the wicked king that he was, throws Micah back into prison after he punches him in the face. His servant there in the court smacked him. He throws him back in prison for once again telling men, or the king, what God has commissioned him to do. He told this prophet, Micah, to tell the truth. That's what we do when we stand up here. When you go to work, if somebody asks you what hope you have, you tell them the truth. Whether they smack you or whatever they do. Matter of fact, this prophet says, if you make it back from the battle alive, he says, I'm no prophet of God. Then in verse 30, Ahab disguises himself in battle. He disguises himself to look like every other chariot driver. But he tells the godly king to dress in your regal attire. And in verse 31, the king of Assyria commanded his men to seek out the king, Ahab, to seek out that chariot. If you're fighting and you see this chariot, and you see this guy in his chariot full of regal dress, you go after him. Stop what you're doing and go after him. So what happens is he throws in verse 32, Jehoshaphat under the bus. Jehoshaphat, you know, he has his regal armor on, and they see him and they start coming after him. But look at it in verse 32 of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 22. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely this is the king of Israel. No, he's just the king of Judah, not the king of Israel. They thought it was Ahab, and they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Now, it wasn't a cry for fear. It wasn't a cry. He's crying unto God. He's crying unto God, and we know that God hears the righteous man's prayer. And so he gets delivered. And it came to pass that the captains of the chariots perceived that this was not the king of Israel, and they turned back from pursuing him. The Lord turned their hearts to protect his godly man. Our God is blessed over all forever. We cry unto God, not like Ahab. We don't curse God. Now let's get to our text. Verses 34, 35, and 36. Now this is in here. This is a matter of historical record. But I think it's very interesting. It came to pass that the chariots of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, so they turned back from pursuing him. Verse 34. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore Ahab said to the driver of the chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, out of the battle fray, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king stayed up on his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died, was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. This is our text. This is all we're going to look at. I'm going to greet it slowly, or say a few things slowly. A certain man, any man, no name, just a nobody. He drew a bow back, his bow and arrow. It says, at a venture. That word means innocently, just, you know, the battle's going on. But he didn't say, he didn't know what a king, he looked like everybody else. I used to do that when I was a kid, had a recurve, just shoot it. No aim, no real direction, just up in the air towards the battle fray. And he hits someone between the seams of armor. Now, there are those who are more scholarly than I, and they look at the Hebrew, and they said it would basically be between the helmet and where the... If you aimed there, you couldn't hit it. Right there. It didn't just hit anyone. It hit Ahab. He's wounded, mortally wounded, with no means of recovery. Now let's look at the gospel in these just several verses. The first thing is Ahab's trying to hide. He's trying to disguise himself so nobody knows who he is. If you're here this morning without Christ, you may be hiding in the church pew. You may be hiding from your neighbors. You may be hiding from your coworkers. But I can tell you this, God knows your every move. He sees you as Hebrews 4 says, he sees you as naked, open. Everything you do. And what we do is described in Genesis chapter 6, 5, when God looked down amongst the inhabitants of men and saw that every imagination of their thoughts of their heart was evil continually. That's us. We can hide. How foolish, when we think about the God of the Scriptures and the God that has been revealed to us, how foolish to think that we can hide or cover our sins before omnipotence or omniscience. We can't do it. We can't do it. So his scheme, like all of free will, false religion scheme, they think God's impressed with them. They think that they're they're hiding from God. They go home and the pastor doesn't see, the preacher doesn't see, you know, maybe the spouse doesn't see, but God sees. God sees. The second thing is a certain man. He doesn't even have a name. A certain man. That could be likened to the preacher of the gospel. It doesn't matter. We're not important. There's no name. None at all. It could be a godly man. It could be a godly woman. It could be a godly person, like that little maid, Naaman. You know, the Lord used her to speak. Said, "Tell my master. Oh, if he knew there was only a prophet in Israel that would recover him of his leprosy." The Lord will. He may say one thing at work, and 10 or 20 years later, it may. We'd like to see things happen now because that's our nature. We want to see more people. Whatever. More is not good. Better is it when there's peace in a little. A certain man, just a person. But God will use this person to tell sinners about God's holiness, His righteousness, the greatness of God. As Scott Richardson says, a preacher is a nobody who tells everybody about somebody who can save anybody. That's exactly it. I don't see any name here. It's a certain man. He uses means, I'm glad he does these things. He's visible church. I'm glad that these things are so. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. He's speaking, who first trusted in Christ. He's speaking to the Ephesians, verse 12, and Ephesians 1, who first trusted in Christ. But look at verse 13. In whom, Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. You can't believe anybody unless you know who you're listening to. You just can't do it. You can't trust an unknown Savior. The gospel of your salvation. Oh, you heard the truth. You know that. No, you're going to hear the gospel of God's grace. There's only one gospel. There's only one baptism. There's only one faith. After you heard the word, we don't turn to Acts chapter 8, but the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading the word. He was reading the word. He didn't understand. And then Philip. A certain man. We have his name. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless some man tell me? So you can kick it. And I know I used to bother. Well, you know, you're kind of limiting God. No, God limits. He tells us this is his means, his ordinance. You're gonna hear. The Ethiopian heard for Philip. Romans 10, we've gone there, 13, 14, verse 14, 15, 16, 17. How shall they call on him whom they've not heard? You're going to have to hear. First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. Chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. You heard the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We could spend all day with this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 through 24. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You may read a message by Whitfield, a sermon by Spurgeon. You may hear, you're going to hear. And then you're going to seek out a place where there's brethren and where this gospel is preached and hold fast to it. What about in Luke, where the two talked, Matt shared in back in the back room, Luke chapter 24, where the two brethren were walking and Christ revealed himself to them. So even believers have to be, the scriptures have to be revealed. The two on the road to Emmaus. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who hath believed our report? That word report is doctrine, or at literally hearing or announcement. That's old fashioned. I don't care. I'm just a certain man. As long as the Lord gives us a gathering place and a hearing, this is what I'm called to do. Oh, may we rejoice in this, his means, his ordinance, to be found delighting in attendance. Sweet is the fellowship of like-minded souls. Because tomorrow, some of you will go to work, and you won't, I guess you could say something, but they're going to look at you like you got three or four eyes. They don't understand. Why? Because they don't understand the gospel. Well, tell them, or invite them, give them a card, whatever. Back in our text, the next thing is, a certain man drew a bow and an arrow at a venture. What are the odds of such a thing ever happening? Just a little opening. What are the odds? Humanly, we would say that it was bad luck, Ahab. What a rotten bit of chance. Now, you don't talk like that if you understand the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not if you have been taught by the unerring Holy Spirit that each arrow in God's quiver shall find its mark, no matter how impossible the mark. This is, we are speaking in the realm of reality to the believer, the truth to the believer, absolute certainty. We're speaking in the sovereignty of God. The prophecy was several chapters before. This is what's going to happen. It's not exactly what's going to happen, but you're just going to die, and then the dogs are going to lick up your blood, and that's exactly what happened if you look ahead. Whether it's between the armor, the joints, or a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl's hard heart. By the grace of God, I try not to, and I'm human. I try not to prepare a message for anybody specifically. I just shoot. And let the Lord. The Lord will have he's got the mark already. This arrow, the gospel of the God, of free grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ, it's going to find its mark. It never misses. And it will bring about the results always expected by our majestic Lord. And it made, Noah. How many years did he preach? 8 people. We got more than that. How discouraging. Yeah, but just remember, we're just a certain man, certain woman. We're nobody. And it's okay. It's okay. There was a sinner, seller of purple in Thyatira, her name was Lydia. The Lord will send a messenger to her, and he'll send a message and open her heart. In Acts chapter 2, that's Acts chapter 16 with Lydia. Acts chapter 2, the Lord ordained those who would believe, such as should be saved. What about here in Jackson? What about in this place right here? Why not? Why not? We gather together. Lord, your will be done. Such as should be saved. But it's not for me to determine. Me is to simply draw back this venture. draw back this arrow at a venture. The last thing is, so the king died. So the king died. We're going to die one way or the other. We're all, as they said in the Old Testament, I go the way, Jacob, I go the way of the earth. Joseph, I go the way of the earth. We don't know when we're going to die. We're going to die. We're either going to die in mercy or die in wrath. God will kill our, in mercy, God will kill our nature through His preached word. He will kill, or that is, take out the old heart and create a new one in salvation. But there's always death. Death to the old man. Death to the flesh. Death to self. Death to sin. Alive. New life in Christ. We'll either die that way or we will die, the scripture says, the second death. Remember, in Isaiah 55 verse 11, His word will not return void. It is so, when you speak the word, if you got family who doesn't believe and you've talked to them and you're like, man, he's just so, it gets easily discouraged. But His word will not come back void. It will do that which He intended. Either life unto life, as I said last week, or death unto death. Who's sufficient for these things? What He's saying there is, I'm just a certain man. Paul, who's sufficient for these things? I'm just a certain man. So my thought would be to myself and to you, don't run, don't hide. God sees everything. You can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. Pray God will shoot you dead now to self, sin, and the lust of the flesh, and create, through the truth spoken, new life, full and free. You cannot hide. You cannot hide from God. May His arrow of the gospel of the grace of God that tells us who He is, what He has done, and where He's at now, may you be convinced that you are naked and you need to flee to Him. Flee towards Christ, not away. I remember growing up, people would start talking about religion, and I would just like, I don't want to hear it. You know, and I've had friends at work, and they say, well, you don't talk about politics, religion, and something, whatever. That's their opinion. The believer desires everybody to know what we know, who we know. Whether it's a daughter, whether it's a son, whether it's a mother, a father, it doesn't matter. Well, I'm going to make them mad. Good. They need to get mad. They need to be killed. Christ said, you hate me because I tell you the truth? And that's what we heard in Bible class. The world will hate you, but marvel not. Marvel not. So, that's all we are. We're nobodies. And we're just shooting it. We're just shooting it. But we know God's will and way and purpose will not be defeated. That's encouraging. There's this little story right in the middle of this. I just love it when this Lord reveals these things. That's what we're about. To God be the glory. Matt, would you close us?